Hey, Trojan fans, get ready for the Trojan Blast podcast. The Trojan Blast is like our regular Peristyle podcast with a little twist. You can download all of our podcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Trojan Blast podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham. Hey, Trojan fans, before we start the Trojan Blast recruiting podcast, a little bit of news broke after we taped this show. Ty Isaac, the four-star running back, number two ranked running back in the country, according to Rivals.com, out of Joliet, Illinois Catholic Academy, 6'3", 215 pounds, tweeted out that he is a USC Trojan. So there's been some talk about USC recruiting a couple of running backs, Ty Isaac being one of them. Justin Davis is set to announce on Thursday, May 17th, so USC could pick up two running backs in the same week. But yes, before, right after we taped this podcast, unfortunately, Ty Isaac broke the news. So I wanted to come in here and just put that little blurb in there for you before we start the show. Well, here's everything else with the rest of the show. Enjoy. Hello, Trojan fans, and welcome to another very exciting edition of the Peristyle Podcast, a special edition of the Peristyle Podcast. It's a Trojan Blast recruiting podcast where we talk with USCFootball.com national recruiting analyst Gerard Martinez all about the latest and greatest news with USC football recruiting. Gerard Martinez is on the line with us right now. What's up, Gerard? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. The word on the street is that this is actually supposed to be a part of the Peristyle Podcast, but evidently we had so many questions that we had to break it up into a Trojan Blast in and of itself.
We did. You know, we did, Gerard. Coach Harvey Hyde is on secret assignment this week, so we were going to have you come on and join the show. But so many questions for Dan Weber, we had to make it his own show. And then we do have a lot of recruiting questions as well, and a very special one at the end. So we're probably going to keep you. And I know the way you like to talk about USC recruiting, so it might take a little longer than we thought.
While Harvey Hyde is out hunting the Taliban on secret assignment, I'm answering recruiting questions.
We'll get right into it. We got some questions to get to. Melvin wrote in, I thought this was interesting. You mentioned this last week on the Trojan Blast, Gerard. You talked about the DeAnthony Thomas rule, and Melvin was very curious. Hey, what is the DeAnthony Thomas rule? And he's curious, is that why we lost DeAnthony Thomas to Oregon?
Because of a rule. No. The DeAnthony Thomas rule, and that's just kind of a slang that, you know, we throw around, is kind of an unofficial, unwritten rule for USC commits not to take an official visit to another school last week of the process. And they don't want kids taking visits that last weekend of the process, because usually right up after that visit is going to be signing day and you have a dead period right before that. So coaches, you know, they really don't get that opportunity to talk to the kids very much after that visit. And as with DeAnthony Thomas, he went to Oregon, I think it was like, what, 3 days before signing day, and they really didn't have a chance to kind of get back in with him and try to kind of sway him back over to USC. So the slang, unofficial term that we use for that is the DeAnthony Thomas rule.
Okay, Melvin. Melvin's wrote in a few times about why do we lose out on this kid? Why do we lose out on this kid? It's a process, Melvin. I mean, Gerard will tell you, verbal commitments are just that. They doesn't mean anything until you sign. And hey, look, T. Shepherd signed with Notre Dame, and he didn't stick around there that long. These are young kids. They change their minds. Stuff happens. I mean, it's. I don't know if you can explain it any better than that, Gerard.
No. Although T. Shepherd and DeAndre Greenberry not going to Notre Dame was something you could see a mile away.
Yeah.
I think moments after their commitment to Notre Dame, sight unseen, never having actually visited South Bend to that point, kind of made you wonder, Fresno kids committed to Notre Dame, never been to Notre Dame. I don't think that's going to work out. And in some cases, you know, it doesn't work out and you can kind of see it coming. But in other cases, you know, I think, you know, Pio Vatuve was a good example of just, you know, a guy that was an SC fan and committed to SC basically on the spot. And you thought, you know, at the end, his heart would win out, but he ended up decommitting and going to Washington, you know, last minute. And sometimes those ones, they're just head scratchers, you know, things come up. And you got to remember, it's not just USC recruiting his kids, but every other college coach in the nation. And these guys, when it comes to January and, you know, December, they are professional salesmen. I mean, this is what they do. This is part of their job. They get paid hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars for this, and they're good at their jobs. And so it's one of those things where you get a very impressionable young man in the clutches, and it's difficult for them to say no. And so you get all these kind of different drama and these crazy stories and subplots at the end of the recruiting process. And like you said, sometimes it's just a matter of a kid being a kid and making that kind of decision.
All right. Well, we mentioned T. Shepherd, so let's segue into our next question. Michael in from Pine Mountain Club. I'm not sure where that is, but hi, Michael. Thanks for writing in. He said, there's talk about T. Shepherd, DeHart, and Jeff Luke transferring to USC. They're all five-star players and ranked in the top three from their positions. Is this just talk, or is there a real possibility? They are all positions of need, cornerback, running back, and middle linebacker. Again, that's Michael Pine Mountain Club.
It's a triple threat package deal. No. It's you know, possible. USC is being looked at by all three of those players. But to this day, we don't know what's going to happen with T. Shepherd. You know, we're kind of thinking there's going to be some decision made in the near future. There's been some speculation on the peristyle as to why maybe USC hasn't made a decision about T. Shepherd thus far, which is some kind of some interesting theories and what do you want to call, I guess you conspiracy theories, if you will, as to why they haven't necessarily made a decision on him yet. But with DeHart, as far as I know, he hasn't been officially let go by Alabama. I've checked in with some people back there, and there's kind of a lot of who knows what's going to go on with him. Sounds like there's been kind of issues behind the scenes with him for a while and playing time and, you know, whether he feels like, you know, they've been recruiting over him the past year. So it's kind of hard to get a vibe for what's really going to happen with him next. He may end up staying in Alabama. He may be, in fact, on his way out. He's a smaller guy, though. I mean, this is a smaller running back, more of that 5'7", 5'8" range. Pretty explosive player, but, you know, USC needs running backs, but they really need bigger running backs. So I don't necessarily know if DeHart would be high on the priority list in terms of, you know, need, because while they need running backs, they specifically need power backs, and I don't know that he's actually a power back. And with Jeff Luke, that's something that's come along in the past couple weeks that, you know, he's transferred out of Florida. He's been officially given his release. Where he goes still remains to be seen. It doesn't sound like USC has been in contact with him yet. It sounds more or less he put a top five out of the schools that he wants to go and see, and USC was one of those top five schools. He was a five-star guy out of high school, but didn't play a whole lot for Florida State the past couple years. He actually did have a pretty good spring game, so that's something, you know, that USC may want to look at that and kind of just look at what he's done lately for Florida State, and they can't actually view that spring game because it was on ESPN, which makes that nice. But it still remains to be seen if USC is actually going to go in and start, you know, kind of wooing him like they did Max Garcia last month, who was the offensive tackle that was transferring from Maryland. He ended up at Florida, obviously being a left tackle and a guy that started 2 years for Maryland. That was a different scenario. They saw a guy that had some production on the field at a position that they needed. These guys that, you know, are transferring right now, when you're talking about Shepherd, you're talking about Hart, and you're talking about Luke, none of them have really had a major impact at the college level. And, you know, with Shepherd, he's actually not played for a year, going on 2 years now, because he didn't play his senior year after transferring. So a little more question marks there. There's a little more of a gamble there. USC, you know, they have to try to get under that 75, and they're not there yet. So it might be dependent on what happens with this incoming class or some potential grade or injury issues that come up, you know, in the offseason before fall camp.
All right. Let's go to Terry in Los Angeles. He said, I wanted to touch on Derwin Gray, offensive tackle. With USC looking at offensive tackles, how is the recruitment going for this guy? I saw his highlights and some of the workouts he's had. I really like this kid. Actually like him better than Nico Fala. He's very physical and plays with a nasty streak. He's versatile, and I can see him as a defensive tackle as well. SC should jump on this guy. What do you think about Derwin Gray?
You know, haven't really heard much about USC recruiting Derwin Gray. He is a good player. He's right tackle, maybe left tackle. So he's kind of on that cusp of, you know, whether he would be a true left tackle or not kind of remains to be seen. I think you'll see that more as some of these national camps come along and people get a little more better view of him against some better top pass rushers. But, you know, thus far, USC really hasn't been a school that you've heard too much about him with. And they are going around and they are looking for offensive linemen. There have been a few guys that they've offered lately that, you know, obviously are guys that they feel pretty good about, but not necessarily left tackles. And I think that's been some of the interesting things that, you know, have created a lot of discussion on the peristyle. You know, we had a thread pop up about Brandon Clubano, who's a center from Georgia, who's a four-star center from Georgia, one of the top centers in the country, but still an interior lineman that we've talked about before. USC's really looking for edge players. They're looking for left tackles. They're looking for guys that can really play on the ends of the offensive line and not necessarily interior guys. They have quite a few good interior players at USC. So, you know, we're kind of seeing if they continue to go after some of those guys that are left tackles. Dorian Johnson's another guy from Pennsylvania who's a big-time offensive tackle that, you know, has that big frame, 6'6", and then about 280, that haven't really heard a lot about with in USC. We'll kind of see if that happens, you know, down the line during May evaluation here. We still got a couple weeks to go with May evaluation process, and so some of these kids, they do need to get another look at. USC's been really spending a lot of time in the Southeast. You know, they've gone through Georgia twice. They've gone into Alabama. You know, they've already gone through Florida. They'll probably go through Florida again. That'll be another state that they actually have two rounds in. And obviously locally they've been going and searching for some left tackles. But it really hasn't necessarily been one of those things where you've seen just about every top guy who's listed as an offensive tackle getting an offer. They have been a little more stingy than I actually thought they would be kind of going in to the May evaluation period. You know, they have not given out a ton of offers yet. It may be one of those things, though, that once they get back and convene in the office after the mid-evaluation period or towards the end and they're able to meet as a staff, go over some of this film, then they start to make a lot more of those offers. I think, you know, when they had, I think, about seven offers go out last week, it was one of those things where, you know, they had that pause where everybody kind of came back to the office and the coaches were able to kind of regroup and look at what they saw. They came out, some offers came from that. Now they're back on the road. They'll probably have another meeting of sorts towards the end of the May evaluation period, and then they're able to look at some of these guys. A guy like maybe, you know, Dorian Gray, maybe a Dorian Johnson, or some of these other offensive tackles that are out there that, you know, they're going to go after just because they're good players. The thing about Dorian Gray, being from Maryland, you know, there's going to be quite a few schools from back east they're going to be after him. And comparing him to Nico Fala, it's just different because Nico Fala is a local player and a guy that you're going to have a legitimate shot at just because of location. Their main battle with Nico Fala is going to be UCLA. UCLA just hired Courtney Morgan, who had been training Nico Fala for quite a while. Now Courtney Morgan is going to be, I believe, a grad assistant or some type of administrative assistant at UCLA, working under Adrian Clem. And so that is going to be an in for UCLA with Nico Fala. And so, you know, we'll see how that develops. Right now, Fala's kind of the guy, it looks like, at offensive tackle in California. But there's some other players that could pop up. And again, you know, May evaluation period, we're still kind of in the middle of it. So there's no finality yet to, okay, these are the guys USC's going to offer.
All right, let's go to Philip. Do you think USC's Fantasy Five defensive backs would be Suell Cravens, Max Redfield, Priest Willis, Tahan Goodman, and Chris Hawkins?
He sounds pretty good to me. You know, I think they would definitely like those five players. I think that's five players that they have a good shot at. You know, we talked a little bit in depth about Tahan Goodman's recruitment in the war room this past week. And I think overall that would be probably a good group to go after. I think, you know, they are trying to go a little national with the corner position. They're going to bring in Mackenzie Alexander, the 5'11", 175-pound cornerback from Immokalee, Florida, who's just a fantastic player. They're going to try to get him in on an unofficial visit and actually have him camp during the summer. So we'll see if that goes anywhere. My vibe is that he's probably going to stay in Florida. And then they have Vernon Hargraves, who's the cornerback from Tampa Bay. And or I should say Tampa. Tampa Bay is actually, you know, the Bay. Actually, you really don't say Tampa Bay in Florida. You say Tampa. Tampa Bay Buccaneers is the only time you say Tampa Bay, just for our Floridians out there that would want to correct me on that. So Tampa has, you know, the five-star, big-time, Army All-American, you know, just, you know, he's got all the accolades. A lot of people rank him as one of the top players in the state. And like we discussed, I think, last week about Hargraves, you know, dad's a coach, been in the coaching business a long time. They're really looking at the opportunity of a school, you know, beyond just football. They're going to do their research. They're going to be out here unofficially. And from what I understand, talking to his mother, they've already pretty much penciled in an official visit to USC. So they're going to have a shot at Hargraves. You know, Hargraves is going to come down, though, to probably Florida, USC. There may be like another school in there, like Alabama, that will pop in, you know, and when it gets in late in the process, you know, sometimes there's other schools that become players for him. But they are looking and keeping a wandering eye a little bit for some of the national corners and not necessarily shutting things down with those five. But, you know, right now, I think those five are doable. And it's a really good top five in terms of talent.
I agree with you. Well, we get questions about the five defensive backs, I think, every week on the podcast. So let's change it up a little bit. But I thought that was a neat one, fantasy five DBs. But Philip also wanted to know, do you think USC can do what Oregon did with D'Anthony Thomas and flip running back commit for Oregon, Thomas Tyner?
Wow, that's a good question. It's a unique situation with Tyner, mainly because I think, you know, we have to see what happens with Chip Kelly, you know, and I don't want to speculate on Chip Kelly and try to put it out there that he's going anywhere, but obviously with how things went down and bringing us back to Tampa Bay, see, it all it's circular, it all comes back together eventually. what happened with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, and Chip Kelly being a guy that almost had that job, and kind of seemed, at least publicly, he pulled away from that at the last minute. He's maybe got his eye on the NFL, and the NFL might have their eye on him. And with him maybe going and leaving the situation there in Oregon, it definitely would open things up. And you know, USC's been recruiting Tyner. They have not backed off. They haven't put up the white flag and said, okay, he's from Beaverton, you know, he's going to go to Oregon and loves Oregon and has been an Oregon fan all his life. No matter what happens, they are recruiting him. They recruited Isaac Suamalo last year, who, you know, his dad coached for Oregon State. And so, I mean, you would think, okay, well, his dad's coaching for Oregon State. He's from Oregon, probably going to end up at Oregon State. Well, that didn't stop them from recruiting him hard. They liked him as a player. They wanted him as a player, and they were going to recruit him hard regardless. And, you know, some people would be critical of that and feel like, you know, well, USC's spinning their wheels. They need to look at guys that they have a shot at. But USC's going to do that. They're going to go after guys that they really like. And if they feel like Tyner's a guy that they really like, they're going to continue to recruit him. And you never know what happens. I mean, that's the thing, is that at this point in time, it looks like a long shot. But weird things happen, you know, these coaches leave and there's scandals that happen and all these things, and all of a sudden, you know, an opportunity opens up. And if you've been there and you're waiting outside that door and it just opens up, you're going to be the one that really rakes the benefits of that. And so, you know, a lot of teams end up having to scramble. All of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, Jim Tressel's done at Ohio State. Well, scramble, let's try to see if we can recruit Ohio State's guys. Well, if you were that school that recruited everybody you liked, regardless of where they were committed and where they were from and whatever their background was, you would be right there ready to take advantage of that situation. And that's pretty much how USC does it. And so, you know, with Thomas Tyner, they're going to continue to recruit him. They've been there to see him, you know, this spring, and it's all in person, and they're not traveling up there to go see him if they don't have real interest in continuing to recruit him and trying to make him a priority. Granted, there's going to be some things that happen over the next couple months with commitments at the running back position that may affect that somewhat. USC can only take so many guys. But I think Tyner's a guy that just seems so intriguing to Lane Kiffin because of his speed. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds, and he's a legitimate 10-4, 10-3 guy. And that's really hard to find. Granted, you kind of question it when you look on the film and say, okay, where is that 10-3? You don't see it, you know, right off the bat. And that's kind of been a little bit of the criticism of Tyner. You know, his speed on the track, does it translate well to football? But again, it's still 10-3 speed. You still kind of, it's hard not to be intrigued by that. You know, maybe it's a little bit of that Raider, you know, kind of Al Davis. influence on Lane Kiffin for whatever 8 months he was there. You know, because you know the Raiders, man, they're always trying to get up in the draft so they can select somebody who's really fast, and it hasn't necessarily worked out for them. But doesn't mean that you know, there's not other coaches and other people out there that kind of have that same thinking of, hey, you know, this guy's, we know he's that fast because he's on the clock. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be productive on the football field, but still, those are facts. You know, you clock a guy, he runs 10-3, it's hard to get past that.
True. All right, well, Philip, thanks for those. We got a couple more from David. First one I like is he says, if Ellis McCarthy were in this year's class, would you, GM, prefer him or Kenny Bigelow?
Wow. That's a tough one. You know, no, I would not, mainly because Kenny Bigelow is committed already, and the bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I've said that before, but it's true. Kenny Bigelow is committed, and you like that, you know, he wants to be a Trojan. And with Ellis McCarthy, it was that constant trying to get him down unofficially to practice, trying to convince, you know, his brother or his uncle or whoever it was that was giving him a ride to come down to the stadium for an unofficial visit, either during the season or during spring. It was constantly, it seemed like, a little bit of a fight to get him around USC. And that always kind of left you going, you know, this is one of those things that it's not going to be a done deal. It's not going to be real easy just because he's a Southern California kid. Now, if we take off the table, you know, Kenny Bigelow being committed, and we're just looking at these guys just flat out talent for talent, man, you know, I tend to go with the local guy mainly because I like to go after the local players because I think, A, it's easier to recruit them. You know, you're not having to worry about distance being a factor. You're always going to be able to be in contact with them much easier than you are someone who's across the country. You know, just those things that, you know, local players, they tend to play hard for their families and for their people that are around them. You know, they can be a little more focused. Maybe they're not thinking about what's going back home. They don't have to worry about being homesick. But man, talent for talent, you know, I don't know, man. Kenny Bigelow is really, really good. Ellis McCarthy is really, really good. I would say Bigelow is probably the more competitive of the two. He seems to be a little more mature and physically ready to contribute right away. I think McCarthy is definitely going to play at UCLA right away, but I think he's still young. More mentality-wise, I think he's young, and he's going to just kind of have to adapt to college and kind of get used to just the rigors of playing college football. And I think Bigelow is just ready for it. You know, I think he's coming in, he's hitting the ground running, and he's a guy that's going to play and be ready to play both mentally and physically. So it's a tough thing. It's recruiting wise, I have to be honest, I'd probably lean towards, hey, we got to make Ellis McCarthy our number one guy. He's the local guy. We got to take care of the local, you know, recruits that are local recruiting pool. We got to put that fence up, make sure he stays home. Well, he did stay home. He went to UCLA, but, you know, SC fans will say that's not really home. So you want to keep him home from that standpoint. But then from a straight talent standpoint, if they were both living in Pasadena, I don't know. I don't know. That's tough. That's a tough question.
No, that's a good answer right there. I mean, it's that close. So
it is that. Oh, it is that close. It's that close. I mean, you know what? We'll know more when I get to see Kenny Bigelow in person. You know, because I saw Ellis McCarthy a lot in person, and he was really good at every, you know, whether it was Army and the combines, the camps, just watching him in games. I saw probably 3 or 4 games of him in person. You know, he's really good. Wasn't playing against great competition. And the same thing with Bigelow. You know, he's not playing against great competition, but I have yet to really see him in person and get a feel for him, you know, just as a player, see him around his teammates, see him around other players, and just kind of get a vibe for him as a person. Because a lot of that stuff matters, man. I mean, I don't know about the recruiting experts and the guys that are involved in the rankings. I don't know what they look at. But I know for me, when I make an opinion on a guy, it's as much, you know, seeing him make a big play, it's much about him making that play and then seeing what he does after he makes that play. And what he does during the plays where the ball's not going towards him. And those kind of nuances of the game, because I think they're very important to production in general as a football player on a team, because it is a team sport. It definitely is that close. In terms of just talent for talent, Bigelow is a freak. He's a meast, as we say on the peristyle.
A meast.
But, you know, just because Ellis McCarthy's going to UCLA now, can't just pretend like he's not too, because he's a really good player. He's going to be a guy that USC has to scheme around the next few years.
We put some video up of Kenny Bigelow on the front page of USCfootball.com, so you can certainly check that out. He was at the Baltimore Nike camp. So check that out. David had one more question, Gerard. He said, it seems that you, Gerard, want a pure speed back to pair with the anticipated commitment of Justin Davis. Is Ty Isaac that guy? He put in parentheses, doesn't seem like it. And if not, why are the coaches pushing so hard for his commitment, which presumably would preclude the speed back that GM has talked about?
Well, GM is not Lane Kiffin, so Lane Kiffin's going to do what Lane Kiffin's going to do. Those coaches make their own decisions and, you know, are the experts. They're the true experts. You know, they know what they need and what they want even more than I do. I like the definitive back roles. I think you want a guy that's your speed guy, or you want your guy that's your power guy. USC for too many years have gotten some combo backs that have neither been really fast nor really big. And you kind of get stuck in that no man's land, and you're kind of going, okay, we've got three guys here, C.J. Gable, Stephon Johnson, and, I don't know, Emmanuel Moody. It's like, who has which role? You got all these guys, you're trying to get them carries and stuff. It's easier to keep guys happy and to do and be productive when you can say, okay, down a distance or whatever, we have a guy here that's going to do this for us, or we have a guy that's going to do that for us. Last year, USC did a good job of kind of making something out of nothing by having a definitive two-back role with Mark Tyler and Curtis McNeil. Curtis McNeil became the de facto speed back while still being, you know, physical and running hard, while Mark Tyler was kind of the guy that would lean on the defense, you know, towards the end of the game. They don't have that. So what USC, I think, really doing in terms of need, they're going after the power back because they don't have that at all. Speedback-wise, on the roster now, you still have some guys that are quick. You have Curtis McNeil. He's going to graduate after this year, but you still have him now. You have, you know, DJ Morgan, who is a guy that, you know, DJ Morgan works really hard. One thing I can say about DJ Morgan, while he's been injured and he had some fumbling issues, this is a kid that's going to be a part of the program and will never be a guy that you're going to look at negatively for trying. He's always going to give you a lot of effort. We've seen him, you know, working after practice and doing a lot of little things away from the team by himself just to try to get back to that point where he was in high school before he got injured. So he's a guy that you don't want to bury and say, okay, you know, he's not going to be the guy. You got to remember, man, he's a freshman last year. You've got to give him some time to develop and really mentally process the playbook. And not, you know, everybody wants this guy to come in and be the next Marquise Lee who's going to contribute right away and be a superstar. But some of these kids just need a little more time to process the playbook. But USC's got some speed. They've got some smaller guys. I think really what they fear is being in those third and two, third and three situations and just not having a guy that can move the pile, not having a guy that can just break that extra tackle and get forward to get that first down. So they're going out and they're trying to find power backs. And the two top guys at the top of the list, I think nationally, would be Justin Davis and Ty Isaac. Now, granted, I feel like Ty Isaac is not really a true power back. He's got the size. You're talking about a legitimate 6'3", 220 pounds. So he has the size naturally to be able to break a tackle and to lean forward and to move a pile a little bit just because of his natural size. But in terms of style, he definitely is a little more of a finesse back. He's a little more of a slasher. And so I think, you know, that's why we categorize him on the target list as a combo back, because he kind of brings together both things. But I think he's pretty fast. You know, he's got good stride. It's kind of hard to gauge, you know, he's playing at Juliet Catholic, which is, you know, certainly not, you know, playing in Dade or playing in the city section of L.A., but he seems to be kind of deceivingly fast because of how tall he is. And is a guy that nobody really seems to catch or have an angle on when he gets in the offensive backfield. And he really, I mean, he was really getting a lot of yards with very minimal carries, which is nice. You'd like to see a guy that really takes advantage of his carries, because when you're at USC or you're really inside a pro-style offense 9 times out of 10, you know, and even now, I think just in football in general nowadays, you're not going to see a lot of single back offenses where you're giving a guy a ball, you know, 30 times a game. You know, it may happen now and again, but you really don't want to wear guys out that much. And I think even on the other side of the fence for the running backs themselves being recruited, being a part of an offense where you have someone else there that can kind of give you a little bit of breaks and you're not wearing yourself down. These kids all want to get to the next level. Next level for them means NFL. Even though they're in high school now and they say the next level, you think, well, that means college. No, they're talking about the NFL. And so you want to save your legs for the NFL. So being a part of a two-back system is not a bad thing. And Ty Isaac is a guy that, like I said, sharing carries or what have you, last year, compared to like Justin Davis, I think he had 275 carries last year. I mean, he was a workhorse. He was a guy that they were riding every freaking down. Every time they needed yards, give it to Justin. With Ty Isaac, he was more of a kind of explosive game breaker type guy. They give him the ball, bam, he gets a touchdown. They just need to get the ball three more times a game. He's blowing people out. So it is definitely one of those things where USC is getting a guy that, you know, Ty Isaac, not the pure speed back, but definitely style-wise, is going to be more of the finesse back between the two.
All right, and then we got one more question, Gerard, but it's a doozy. I want you to get your notepad out. This is from our voicemail. Yeah, voicemail question. So definitely check this out. Get ready to write down some names. It's going to be fast and furious. Here you go.
Hi, Ryan and Gerard. Love your show. Been a Trojan fan since Rodney Pete. I have a ton of recruiting things I want to talk about because I've been following this recruiting thing and I have a lot of knowledge. First, I want to ask you about three players from actually the Midwest. One is, I think it's Jadelon Smith. Another is Chance Cox, and I think the other one is Mike Malone out of Texas. Then I want to ask you about some of the Georgia kids. I think one's name is Shamar Devine, because I know we gave him a scholarship. Another is Montavious Adams, and the other is Jay Thomas. All right, then I want to ask you about the two Memphis kids that we just recently gave scholarship offers to. One is a tackle. I think his last name is Martin. And the other was a linebacker. I think they go to the same school. So I wanted to ask you about that. This is Deshaun from Georgia. Thank you.
Wow.
big one.
Okay. That's pretty okay. He has a lot of recruiting questions. I don't know about a lot of recruiting knowledge, but I'm going to try to give him some knowledge here. So in the Midwest, we have Jalen Smith, who's a 6'3", 200-pound linebacker from Indiana, and a guy that's talked about unofficially visiting USC during the summer. It seems like it'd be a Notre Dame lean. Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, everybody's on him. But popped up to a passing league tournament a couple weeks ago and had a Notre Dame hat on. So everybody kind of looks at him being kind of a Notre Dame lean right now. Outside linebacker, not necessarily probably the highest priority position for USC right now, but he is definitely a top player, a guy that could end up being a five-star guy at the end of the day when the rankings, end up filling out to being about 25, 30 players. So we'll see what happens from his unofficial visit this summer. Kind of everything takes point from there, if he's able to come back for an official visit during the year. Chance Cox is actually a four-star linebacker in the Rivals 100 from Arizona, Brophy Pep. And with Chance Cox, he's a four-star linebacker, but being recruited by USC as a fullback/H-back, which is unique. I get the feeling that he really wants to be recruited as a linebacker. I think he wants to play linebacker in college, and so that's going to be the biggest issue for USC. So we'll kind of see how they're able to recruit him and maybe try to persuade him to play in offense. He's about 6'3", 220, 225. Not going to see him very much during the camp circuit because he's got an injured shoulder. So it's going to be tough. We kind of have to see what happens with him. And I really wanted to see him at some camps just to see if he could really play offense. I mean, he looks like he can play offense on film, but I definitely wanted to see his hands and just kind of see how he would play against top competition during the summer in the camp circuit. I don't really know who Mike Malone, I think he said, from Texas is. Maybe he's onto something, I don't know, but I'm not sure about Mike Malone. Then, we're in Georgia now, Shamir Devine, offensive tackle, 6'6", about 360, huge human being, a player from Georgia, offensive tackle, maybe an offensive guard. That's one of those things that I think we have to see kind of later with the camps and some things. You know, he went to VTO and was very impressive against some top players in Georgia. A guy that really not a big football fan. From what I understand, he's kind of just learning about football and more interested in the education and some of the things that football can do for him later on in life. So it'll be interesting to see if USC is able to go in there and have a legitimate shot at him. But he's a behemoth. I mean, he's a guy that you would definitely compare just size-wise with Andre Walker, one of those just massive human beings who, you know, I mean, for him, it's just really scratching the surface as far as potential goes. So we'll see. It's probably going to have to be an official visit if USC is able to convince him to leave the state. Martavis Adams, another guy who, you know, big-time defensive tackle, four-star. You know, he's on everybody's radar. Had Clemson as his leader. USC offered him. He started to kind of come around to USC. Now Alabama's in after him. Georgia's after him. It's going to be probably difficult. You know, it really wanted to get him on an unofficial visit. It doesn't sound like that's going to happen right now. Sounds like if he comes to USC, it's going to be officially. So we're probably going to have to wait until after that visit to see what type of impact, you know, the travel has on him. But I get the sense he's an SEC kid, and really defensive tackles, while, you know, USC recruits them pretty hard in the SEC, the ratio there is not very not very positive. And you're not getting a lot of defensive tackles from the SEC for the amount of offers that USC has given out over the past few years. In Memphis, the truth of the matter is with the Memphis kids, they really, most of the guys that were claiming offers did not have scholarship offers. Christian Morris, the offensive tackle from Memphis, does not have a scholarship offer from USC. Neither does Marcus Robinson, his teammate, the linebacker. Frank Huron is actually a player, defensive end from Tennessee, that does have a scholarship offer from USC. He's about 6'5", 245, one of the top players in the state, defensive end. So obviously USC is looking for some pass rushers in this class. They want some defensive ends. That's another position. You know, on top of defensive tackle, they really need defensive linemen in general. So, you know, that offer is pretty understandable. So, you know, they went through Tennessee actually about 2 weeks ago, saw Jalen Ramsey, who's a 6-foot, 180-pound corner, who's very impressive player. I've seen him at some things, some VTO clips, and from what I understand, just in person, he was pretty impressive and is going to be a guy that USC will recruit him hard, but another SEC kid that, you know, it's difficult. You don't want to put too much stock and too many eggs in those baskets of those SEC kids. You're trying to steal maybe one or two of those kids out of that region. And of the list of guys I've talked about, I don't know if any of those guys are really ripe to be the guy that, you know, USC is able to steal from the SEC region. Granted, they're kind of redundant now recruiting, which is going to be a good thing. They have Ed Orgeron, who's been a fantastic recruiter just, you know, forever. I mean, he's one of the best in the business doing this. He's been a guy that's been working the South for USC for a long time as well when he was in Ole Miss and when he was at Tennessee. Now you have T. Martin, who, again, kind of provides some redundancy in recruiting the SEC region, and he's got some good ties in Georgia and Alabama and some of those other places. So we'll see. Maybe they're able to double it up with two coaches recruiting that region. Maybe they're just able to be a little more solid in who they want to get and who they could target early and feel like they have a good shot at. Because that's just as important, too. Make sure that you're not spinning your wheels too much down there with kids that really have no intention coming west.
Hey, Gerard, nice job on that question. There was a lot of names thrown at you. No questions in there, just mentioning of names, by the way.
Yeah, that was the thing. I kind of started thinking about that midway through. I said, you know, there's a lot of names here, but I'm not sure what question do you want to ask specifically about each player.
Well, we'd love to see Trojan fans down in Georgia interested in recruiting, talking about recruiting. So thanks for sending that question in.
It's a big year in Georgia, so it's definitely there's a lot of guys to ask questions about. You know, Alvin Kamara and Deshaun Dye. There's just been a lot of guys that they've offered and been looking at. The May evaluation period is definitely one of those times where the coaches are able to get down on the ground, get around the high school coaches and the people that, you know, are close to these kids, and that's when you really get the vibe as to, has this kid really got the mentality, the disposition to be a USC recruit later down the line? I know there's a couple guys that are standing out in my mind that have that ability, but, you know, you're really searching through a bunch of different guys, and you'd love to recruit a lot of players down there because there's a lot of talent down there, but you have to be very measured in how you do it or you can waste your time.
All right. Well, Gerard, thanks again for joining us on the show, and I wanted to let people know We wanted to have you fill out a little questionnaire about the podcast. If you can email us, podcast@uscfootball.com, we'll pick five of you at random that fill out the questionnaire to send you a free T-shirt. So we'd love to do that. Four things. We want you to be eligible. We want to hear four different things. Number them, 1, 2, 3, 4. One, what do you think about the length of the podcast? Do you like the normal one's about an hour, and then the Trojan Blast pretty much as long as Gerard wants to talk, 40 minutes or so? Number two.
Depends on how many questions I get, like the last one.
Exactly. Number two, what's your favorite part of the podcast? Number three, what's your least favorite part of the podcast? And number four, what'd you say?
The most favorite part of the podcast, Gerard. Least favorite part of the podcast, Gerard,
yeah. And number four, any questions or comments. So label those 1, 2, 3, 4, answer those four specific things. Length of podcast, favorite part, least favorite part, questions, comments, and please send it to us at podcast@uscfootball.com. And we'll select five of them and send you a free R75 or better than your 85 T-shirts. And we got some news with that. I think we got some hats coming as well. So check that out. R75 are greater than, or better, sorry, than your 85.com. I don't want to screw up the website there. It's a long kind of URL. Gerard, you are not eligible, so do not send in a questionnaire and tell me how you're the favorite part. I'll send you a shirt anyway, though. How's that?
I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you five things that I want to talk about, but not really ask a question about any of them. How about that?
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, Gerard, and everyone else. Thank you very much for listening to the Peristyle Podcast. We'll be back next week talking more about USC football and USC football recruiting.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your iPod or MP3 player for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.